Welcome to this month's edition of the Zeitgeist Tapes. My name's Emma Burnell. I'm a political journalist, consultant, and playwright. And I'm joined, as always, by my esteemed compadre, Professor Stephen Fielding of the University of Nottingham. Hello, Stephen.
Hello, Emma. Hello, listener.
And this month, we are talking about the Netflix drama Don't Look Up, which has been received in varied ways, I would say, by the critics. It stars Jennifer Lawrence and Leonardo DiCaprio as two scientists who discover a comet that is going to hit the Earth in 6 months. And the action centres around the political response to that, both at top level and then at more populist level. Would that be a fair summary of the action, Stephen?
That would be a fair summary of the surface drama, but obviously we're meant to read this not as really a film about a comet that's about to hit the Earth. We're meant to think that, oh, they're talking about something else, aren't they? They're talking about climate change and reactions to climate change. So it's, I'm not sure how clever a conceit it is, and we are meant to see through it, aren't we? We are meant to think, yeah. Oh, this is very similar to how we deal with climate change, at least in terms of how the film presents things. Yeah, so that's a fair summary. I mean, it says things about the media quite a bit. It says things about politics, superficiality, and all kinds of stuff. And it's, I mean, you know, it has a few things to say. And it's an Adam McKay film, so there's always going to be interesting things. And it's very nicely shot. There's lots of little jokes in it. So, yeah, that's a fair summary, I think.
Yeah, and it is a comedy, and it's worth, sometimes it's worth kind of reminding yourself of that when you get cross about some of the superficiality. It is there to make you laugh and then make you think. And it did do both for me, although not all of my thoughts were positive about the outcome of it.
No, it certainly made me laugh in parts, and some of it is very funny. Some of the little things about the characters themselves, their interactions, and some of the little points it does make along the way. Although one of the things it did make me think was this film is far too long. It could do with, yeah. When is this coming?
To be fair, Stephen, I think that about every single film that's out at the moment. I think I tweeted whilst watching this film. The next person to edit a film to the length of 1 hour, 39 minutes, just wins an Oscar automatically.
Yes, yeah. But it's almost like a film in two halves in a way, because the first half is very funny. There's a comic coming, how do we react, and all the various ways. And we could talk about how politicians and the media are kind of depicted in reacting to that. And then when they actually see the comet, you know, coming, you know, in the sky, when people start saying, oh, you know, about looking up, don't look up, and then it gets a bit more serious and a bit more dull and a bit more preachy, and I'm thinking, I think you could have done this a bit more subtly. I mean, Adam McKay did, we talked about Vice, about Dick Cheney, did that in a very, very funny, if quite vituperative, but maybe fairly vituperatively way. But I don't know did you see The Big Short that he did? About the financial crash. I thought that film was so good. It was funny. It was witty in all kinds of different ways. Told me things I didn't know and was actually relatively subtle. And yet it had a very clear message. Mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah.
If you measure this film against that, then I think this one is very much found wanting.
I would agree with that. What I found watching it was it felt like a film there to confirm my worst prejudices, not there to help me overcome those and make difference.
Yes. Yeah.
And as such, I don't know what it's for, really. The Big Short, as you say, I learned so much from watching that film. And having learned those things, it made me go on to think about financial systems and how they interact with politics and how there might be ways to change that. This film, I just got the message, politicians are too stupid to do anything. Billionaires are too greedy to do anything. The people are too stupid to do anything. Academics are great, but no one listens to them. And I'm sure you agree with that last point, Stephen.
Well, certainly nobody listens to them. Yes, certainly. I would agree with that. No, you're absolutely right. I mean, what do you do with this film? What are you meant to do with this film? I mean, first of all, maybe it's... I mean, what's my attitude to climate change? Well, it's a problem. I realise our politicians aren't grasping it properly. I realise there's a lot of distortion in terms of the people that deny climate change going on. And I do a bit of recycling. I mean, what else am I meant to do, right? You know, that film, all that film did was, like you were saying, it confirms your prejudices that you were already, at least people like us. I mean, listener, I have no idea where you're coming from, but it's undoubted you're probably some kind of liberal, aren't you, you sad person. So you might be a climate change denier. I'm highly sceptical that you would be. It's confirming all the prejudices that people like us will have. But it doesn't leave you with any kind of sense of what's going on or what you can do to stop that thing. I mean, it was quite funny when because there's what's a Looney Tune political actor that plays the Apple guy, Bash person, Mark Rylance. Great actor. Politics a bit weird, but Mark Rylance plays someone like Jeff Bezos. You know, whoever, you know, someone in charge of some multimedia tech company who is in control of algorithms, knows everybody's algorithms. And he actually talks to the character that's played by, why do I always lose people's names? DiCaprio. Oh, no, Leonardo DiCaprio. The academic. And he kind of actually assesses him very nicely. So it's like... he's an idealist, but he's not an idealist who wants to do anything because he's always about pleasure and avoiding pain. And then I'm thinking, actually, this is the audience. This is you want to feel good about yourself, but do nothing about it.
Yeah, right? Absolutely. Yeah, and then I find this kind of thing. If this film were just saying, hey, we're just a film, it's just a bit of entertainment, fine. But what it does is inject a saccharine of activism. I've done something because I've watched Don't Look Down, and you haven't done anything, but you feel good about yourself for having watched it. And that for me is almost more dangerous than not doing anything at all.
Yes. Don't look up because of course it's the other. Yeah, don't look up. Anyway. Sorry, I'm being a pedant.
No, you're absolutely right.
A terrible person. Yeah, there is nothing left to do apart from, as you say, congratulate yourself for having watched it and maybe tweet something about how good it is. And we should all watch it and blah blah blah. But it is funny that the Mark Rylance character kind of, I mean, it's almost as if maybe they should have thought about that a bit more. Or were we meant to think, oh, we are like Leonardo DiCaprio, we are that person. But it doesn't give you any jumping off point from that.
But I also felt like as we've said before, the film was too long. There were a couple of storylines in there that were completely unnecessary. Why did Leonardo DiCaprio have an affair with Kate Blanchett? Other than Leonardo DiCaprio's contract probably says, I can't just be with the dumpy woman. I've got to also be with Kate Blanchett.
But she's a bit old for him though, isn't she? To be fair.
Well, Kate. That is true. And then... equally, and more insidiously, I felt, the whole, the president's chief of staff is her child, and it's obviously based off of Trump, but it was just like, we don't need another Trump parody. We've had millions of them. Actually, wouldn't it be more interesting to explore why good, clever, well-meaning politicians who aren't simply venal and obsessed with their ratings are unable to take action? Wouldn't that actually be? And I'd love to see Adam McKay do that, because I think he could do it justice.
Yes.
And I just think, what a wasted opportunity to explore the much more complex nuances of political inaction.
No, in a way that the cast was wasted, because for the most part, I mean, the Leonardo DiCaprio and the Jennifer Lawrence characters had, you know, there was something going on there, you know, about them a little bit. And we can maybe talk about how the media decides that he is the sexiest scientist.
Yeah. And she's
the bad guy. I mean, apart from them, everyone else is a cliche. Everyone else is a stereotype. So yeah, the female Trump-like president, played by, you know, Meryl Streep, multi-Oscar-winning Meryl Streep, yeah, is just a cardboard cutout, right? With a few little jokes, but that's about it. And the Cate Blanchett media presenter, I mean, she's just another cardboard cutout with some weird stuff going on in her head, but nothing very much. Well, really.
I think the idea behind her was that she had to dumb down to be on telly, but they clevered her up so much, 3 master's degrees, speaks millions of languages, la la la, and made it such a dichotomy in her. It was just too much. It was like, well, no, actually. Yeah. And then, of course, co-presenter, the amiable black guy, is just the amiable black guy, and we never find out anything more about him.
Yeah, and the other black character who was, you know, the head of the federal government kind of response to comets attacking the Earth kind of thing, he's honourable, decent, you know. I mean, there aren't many black characters, but maybe then they're talking about a certain level of American society, but they're both of a certain kind, a bit of a cliche, really. But I thought the DiCaprio sort of affair with Cate Blanchett, that was, I guess, meant to sort of dramatize his corruption, because he starts off as a decent, hardworking academic scientist. He hasn't published very much recently, which is completely crazy. He wouldn't have a job in America if that was the case. And he's trying to do the right thing, and then he's seduced. I mean, he's literally, it's just in case the audience didn't get the message, it's not subtle. He is seduced by the fact that, you know, is Leonardo DiCaprio, or trying to look as scruffy and as academic as possible, but he's still Leonardo DiCaprio. And everybody says, oh, you're the sexiest scientist in America. And he, you know, he's seduced by the presenter, he's seduced by the fame, and he's brought into the president's kind of, as a presidential advisor. And he starts to think that some of the really bad stuff that's going on isn't too bad. And then he does realise, because he's Leonardo DiCaprio, he's not going to be completely bad. So I think that was part of that. Because the thing we might want, you know, if our listener hasn't seen the film, I mean, mind you, it's a spoiler, isn't it, really, if we say what...
We do actually, spoilers, Steve, we do spoilers.
Right. Well, in the end, well, halfway, because this is a junction point in the film, really, halfway through the film, it's almost like a comedy version of all those films with where the Earth is about to be attacked by a comet, and some heroic American film star gets into Bruce Willis, and they have to divert the comet, right? So they do that, and they actually send up, you know, it all seems like everything's going to happen, and halfway through the film, it all goes up, and then the Mark Rylance character, the tech giant guy, says, oh, by the way, there's lots of interesting chemicals, I mean, minerals on that comet that we could use, my company could use. So let's not destroy the comet, let's just break it up into little bits so it kind of lands harmlessly. And so the attempt to deflect the comet goes, because there's money in them, in that there comet. And of course, the president, who is in hock to the tech giant, because they've paid all the money into their campaign, goes along with it too. So, you know, it's and the DiCaprio character actually goes along with that up to a certain point. So yeah, it shows how experts can be, you know, converted into sort of media whores, and to betray their principles. I mean, there's some little things going on that are relatively sort of, but it's a very, ultimately, it's a very crude, very simplistic take. And as you say, there's no solution. I mean, there's not even a clue as to what the solution is, really, that what we can do.
Yeah, I agree. And also, I mean, it kind of goes, and in many ways, Leonardo DiCaprio's character kind of epitomizes some of the best and worst of the film, in that you see him kind of, hey, it's really, really important at the beginning. And so we go, yeah, yeah, it's really important. And then loses his way, as I would say, argue the film does, into this whole kind of glitzy stuff. And hey, actually, everyone's really awful. And then he flips, but we don't really see why he flips. I mean, you don't see his decision-making process. He's just suddenly, one minute, he's like, yeah, I totally love all this and I'm banging the hot girl. And then the next minute, it's like, oh, actually, maybe we shouldn't be profiting from trying to kill everyone on Earth. Mm. And then he goes off on a rant on live on the Hot Girls TV show, which is essentially him breaking up with her. Should we have a listen to that rant now? And it sort of comes out of nowhere, doesn't it?
But first, and yes, you can tell from my smile, stop it, that America's sexiest scientist is here, Dr. Randall. Welcome.
Dr. Randall, how are you, sir?
I'm good. I'm gooder than good.
All right, so Randall, we're hearing that there is no comet, or that there is a comet, right, but it's a good thing, or maybe it's a bad thing. We are so confused. So could you please help us out here, you know, a wise scientist?
Well, first and foremost, Bree, there most certainly is a comet.
All right.
And we know that there is a comet because we have the data. There has been growing concern within the scientific community as of late. You see, the peer review process is absolutely essential
Well, if Bash's stock is any indicator, then we don't have to worry about the peer review. It is going gangbusters. And listen, full disclosure, I bought as many shares as I could, and I would advise you to do this.
You are such a shameless capitalist.
Yeah. Said the woman who will be in the brand new hot tub my back deck when I put it in.
You know me
stock,
too well.
For sure. That's right. That's right.
Dr. Randall, you sure you're okay? You want a glass of water?
I don't feel so good.
All right. So I think what we'll do is we'll go to commercial break, and we will be right back.
Please, Bree, don't cut away. Let me say something.
Well, you came to the right place because on this show, we like to say things.
Oh, would you please just stop being so pleasant? I'm sorry, but not everything needs to sound so goddamn clever or charming or likable all the time. Sometimes we need to just be able to say things to one another. We need to hear things. Look, let's establish once again that there is a huge comet headed towards Earth. And the reason we know that there is a comet is because we saw it. We saw it with our own eyes using a telescope. I mean, for God's sakes, we took a fucking picture of it. What other proof do we need? And if we can't all agree at the bare minimum that a giant comet the size of Mount Everest hurling its way towards planet Earth is not a fucking good thing, then what the hell happened to us? I mean, my God, how do we even talk to each other? What have we done to ourselves? How do we fix it? We should have deflected this comet when we had the fucking chance, but we didn't do it. I don't know why we didn't do it. And now that they're actually firing scientists like me for speaking out, for opposing them. And I'm sure many of the people out there aren't even going to listen to what I just said because, they have their own political ideology, but I assure you, I am not on one side or the other. I'm just telling you the fucking truth.
I think this would be a good time to establish that Isherwell and the president have both said that there's benefits to be had.
Right, well, the president of the United States is fucking lying. Look, I'm just like all of you. I hope to God that this president knows what she's doing. I hope she's got us all taken care of. But the truth is, I think this whole administration has completely lost their fucking mind. And I think we're all gonna die.
So yeah, that was Leonardo DiCaprio's voice of the filmmaker saying, "Hey, people, can't you see?"
Yeah, that is the most preachy bit of it. I mean, that's in the part of the film where it's the second part of the film where I think it's not quite sure, is it a comedy? What kind of a comedy is it? I mean, I think it possibly betrays a lack of time, you know, to actually write a proper script, that they thought, you know, let's get Leonardo in it because he's an environmental activist, blah, 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 and people like him. I think it was either lazy or they didn't put enough time into it because we're doing other things or whatever. But it's certainly below the high standards that Adam McKay normally adheres to. I mean, you can do really interesting satires on such things. I mean, I was just thinking, well, there's a film called Thank You for Smoking from 2005 about lobbyists, and that was really funny. And it actually kind of emphasised a certain thing you might not have been too aware of because it all goes on behind the scenes. And I remember liking that film and thinking it was funny and also much more informative. I was really quite surprised, because one reason why next time we're going to talk about the Manchurian Candidate, and we were going to do it in January, but because there was all this fuss about this film, I thought, well, why don't we talk about this first? And there isn't very much to talk about, really, because I mean,
quite a short episode, I think. I keep looking at the clock and thinking I've not got much more to say.
Yes, I did that very same thing about 5 minutes, no, 2 minutes ago. It seemed like 5 minutes ago, and I was thinking this is going to be our shortest episode ever on the most important issue that's facing the planet. And yet this film doesn't add anything. But this is, this is the kind of cognitive dissonance thing, that there are all these people, the environmental activists are on the one part, saying, you've got to see this film, it's all about the truth, it's this, and then some people, journalists going, oh, it's a bit simplistic in terms of how it deals with certain things. I thought, oh, this is going to be an interesting film. And it's not an interesting film at all.
No, and I mean, I have to say, in its defence, when I first looked at the time slot, I thought, oh, bloody hell. I've been watching the bloody Matrix films for no good reason recently. And I can't watch them in one go. I did get through this in one go. So it was well made enough, and Adam McKay's a good enough filmmaker, that it slipped along better than I thought it was going to. But that's not what I should be saying about an Adam McKay film.
No. No, and I was like 40 minutes to the end, because it's about 2 hours 15 minutes, which is it's a bit longer than that. But that's quite long for a film anyway, in my humble opinion.
It's not these days, sadly, but it bloody should be.
Yes, it should be. It was about 40 minutes to go, and I was thinking, bloody hell, when is this going to end? When is this comet going to hit? And it just dragged, because it was getting a bit preachy.
Yeah, you start cheering on the comet.
I was like, oh, come on, man, get real. There are certain things in it that you would go, nice, neat, bit clever, good touch here. But ultimately, it's a bit of a drag and doesn't really add very much. Well, it adds a bit to the gaiety of the nations, but it doesn't really add much to the information of the nations, really. It just, as you said, it confirms prejudices.
Who wore a red MAGA hat and was concerned about the impact of climate change action on my livelihood in a coal mine or what have you, living in Virginia, if I were to watch this film, I would feel deeply insulted and patronised by it.
Yeah, I mean, you probably wouldn't be watching it in the first place, but if you did, it's not going to win. It's not going to win any.
Not going to change minds.
No, and it's not necessarily, maybe I'm too old to be. I never even thought there were any point to demonstrations, to be perfectly honest. But it's not necessarily even going to motivate people who are really committed to go out and do something they weren't doing already. I mean, I'm not going to stop. Recycling and doing what little I can, but I am not at all sure what else I can do. What should I just throw myself in front of go in Extinction Rebellion at all? I mean, is that really what is this film saying I should do? I mean, it's not adding anything to the sum total of what we already know, I think.
Yeah, I think you're right, and I think that's probably the right note to leave it on too. It's available on Netflix. It's probably worth watching if you just fancy, I mean, particularly if you're an Adam McKay completist, but it's not, I think you gathered from our discussion, what either of us would say was his best film, or that useful to dealing with what is an existential crisis in climate change.
Adam McKay, if you are listening, and the next time you bring something out and you want to talk about it, please come on
the Zeitgeist. We promised to be kind to you next. We were very nice about Vice. We loved Vice.
Yes.
There you go. Right, so it just behoves me to say that thank you to Lord Stuart Wood of Anfield for our theme tune. If you've enjoyed this, please do rate and review us on iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts. And this has been a Political Human production.